Wait, is he Canadian?
Yes.
Because of Avril Lavigne?
No. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and yes, I did buy a skateboard because of this show.
I'm Jeff, and I'm the infinity to Annie's skateboard.
No!
If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to Love It or Weeb It.
But today we're returning to a show we loved earlier this season for a full review now that it's finished airing, Skate the Infinity, which is subbed and dubbed on Funimation.
But before we get into that, Annie, what have you been watching or reading in the realm of anime?
That's a good question.
But do you have an answer?
Kind of. I made fun of One Piece on TikTok, jokingly. Ooh. And then I was like, I guess I should read more of it so I know what I'm talking about. What?
I don't know. I just can't imagine you reading One Piece.
I know, because I hate the character designs, specifically of the women.
Have you seen the later stage stuff, or are you talking about even the early stage stuff?
Early stage stuff I can't get through.
Oh, no. Because it gets much worse.
That's what I have heard. So I started trying to read it. I've reread these first couple chapters so many times trying to enjoy it. I'm so sorry, One Piece people.
Okay, how far have you gotten in those attempts?
We got Zoro and we got Usopp. I think we met Nami.
Okay. So that's how far I got this time as well?
I'm not at Nami yet for my reading now, but the last time I tried to read it, we got to Nami.
Okay, because I don't know if you've heard the same thing I'm about to tell you from other people, but like the big turning point, the moment that at least really sold me on the series, isn't when Nami's introduced, but a little bit later. Actually, it's after Sanji's introduced, when you get like more of Nami's backstory and the arc with Nami's backstory. That's what really sold me on the series, which is like volume like 9 or so, I think.
I want to get to the current stuff because I like some of the new characters that I've seen, but I've got like 1,000 chapters to go.
Which character have you seen that make you excited?
The one that, I don't remember their name, but they admired somebody and like their dad's bad, but they want to be good. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. They,
Yamato?
They are a very cool character, Yamato. But I am scared because...
Oda's not good at writing these things? Oops.
Oh, yeah. And it seems like Yamato is trans or at least not cis in some way. And Oda's not very respectful in that. So.
No. Yeah. That's why I'm like, that's another reason I'm hesitant. But I was like making fun of how like the characters are kind of ugly. And someone's like, well, Nami and Robin aren't ugly. And I'm like, no, they're not. But every single woman has the same face. And then somebody came in the comments. They're like, are you talking about Big Mom doesn't have the same face? I was like, shut up. They're either the same beautiful woman or they're like some horrible, like monster looking person. Like, it's just, he doesn't respect women.
Yeah. And like Big Mom is like, is the definition of the exception that proves the rule. Like the fact that you have one exception proves that, that there is a pattern. But, and also like in the arc that focused on Big Mom, there are a lot of female characters with some body diversity there, but that took a long time to get there and they're still often grotesque.
They also tried to tell me that they're like, you think Carrot has the same face as the other people? I'm like, that's a rabbit. They're a rabbit person.
I mean, I just hate how, like, the fact that Oda, like, draws female eyes differently than male eyes. I'm like,
draw them the same, dang it.
Right, like, it's just a strange stylistic choice and... So have you seen the image that I just sent you?
Your text? Yes, I am upset by it.
This is the first time seeing it?
Yes.
So this is in a like question and answer segment in the back of a volume. He like got a question. I was like, how do you draw a female figure? And he basically drew that he draws three circles and then an X and that's their body type. So like. Oh, it's just boobs and then like a tiniest hourglass possible below them.
Please drink some respect women juice, Oda. But anyways, that's what I've been up to.
Once you get to the Arlong Park arc, that's when you know that you'll hit the good stuff.
How long?
I think it's volume 9 or 10.
God. Okay.
Yeah, that is a lot.
This is why no one reads One Piece who hasn't already like read it, because it's a pain.
It's also a cult.
But it takes so long for it to get good. And I just don't have the time.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff before that is not bad, but it's not exceptional until Arlong Park.
Ugh. Okay. Yes. Continue. What are you reading or watching?
So I started watching SSS Gridman because the new show SSS Dinzaiman, however that's pronounced, just came out. And I was like, well, I've been meaning to watch SSS Gridman because it's like, I don't know, I don't really love giant mechs or kaiju, but it's Trigger, so like I really should watch it someday. And I heard good things, and you know, my 3 episodes in, it's good, it's solid, it's decent, it's fun, has that Trigger fun vibe to it. But I also heard that SSS Dinzaiman does not require knowledge of Gridman, so now I'm like, oops, did I make a mistake? But oh well.
It's worth watching if you think it's solid.
Yeah, yeah. I've been meaning to get to it anyway. The other thing that I started playing, but it's hard because I'm also playing too many things right now. I wonder if you saw any of this discourse on Twitter. Not discourse, not really much discourse, but the funny Easter egg. So I never saw the anime of Umamusume.
Do you know? Yeah, you don't need to.
But the gacha game for Umamusume finally came out, which like years after the anime premiered. And for people who have not seen the anime, which I can't blame you, it apparently, so it's horse girl idols. So they are, they're horse girls in that they have horse ears, they have horse tails, and they have long hair that's reminiscent of horse hair-ish, but they don't have like horse legs or anything. They are just human girls with ears, hair, and a tail, and they run on a racetrack. So like, so they're just dumb, doing like marathon running, but like in a horse race like setting. It looks so absurd. And but they also sing, they're also idols. It's such a strange premise.
It's the worst.
It's stupid. But the thing that makes me interested in the gacha game is that it's by Cygames, which is the same company that does Granblue Fantasy, Dragalia Lost, World Flipper, I'm forgetting, Shadowverse. There are probably a couple others I'm forgetting. They generally are really good at Princess Connect, at doing really high quality gacha games with long-term appeal and keeping fans interested for a while. And I'm just curious, since the latest one of their games come out, like what their new UI and stuff is. And I'm also really impressed that they really are dedicated to having portrait games, because a lot of gacha games and mobile games in general are landscape, and it's like holding a phone landscape is such a pain. But Umamusume, they really go out of the way. Like, you can watch cutscenes in portrait or landscape and stuff, and that's really cool. But the thing I think is funny about Umamusume is that they so have you seen the kanji for horse? Maybe you've seen it before.
No.
I'll send it to you so you know what it looks like.
Do I want to know?
So the kanji for horse, people aren't aware, it's written basically with like a shape that has four lines. You know, like a horse has four legs, so that's this kanji with these four lines became the meaning for horse. But in the world of Umamusume, they are horse girls, but they only have two legs. So in the world of Umamusume, horses only have two legs. So when this kanji character appears in Umamusume, the game, they made like a custom Japanese font so that this character only has two dots instead of four dots. And I just...
Okay, this is annoying.
I find it so absurd. The commitment is... so great.
I hate it.
But I don't know if the game's any good, because all I did was install it and watch cutscenes. But also on a sad note, sad gacha game note, I didn't realize when we covered Wave,
the Let's Surfing Go Surfing Boy one? Yeah.
Yeah, the Surfing Boy one. There was a gacha game associated with it. And I say was because it it didn't have a Japanese translation, or it didn't have an English translation or anything, but it existed for about 1 month before it got canceled and shut down. Oh, that's sad.
Rest in peace.
That seemed like a series that like had some potential and was just cursed at every opportunity. Oh, well. Well, speaking of things that aren't cursed at every opportunity, like, whose duty is it to recap this one?
Is it mine?
You nominated it.
Congrats to me. Good taste.
Okay, Annie, what is Skate the Infinity about?
Well, let me tell you. It's about friendship and skateboarding and maybe some love just thrown in there. Actually, definitely some love thrown in there. So if you didn't listen to our preview episode and you haven't watched it, I don't know why you're here, but welcome. Longa moves to a new town away from snowboarding. He's very sad. His dad's dead. He meets Reki, who loves to skateboard.
Wait, is he Canadian because of Avril Lavigne?
No.
He has to be. That's
not
why he's Canadian.
Because of Avril Lavigne. In her hit song, Skater Boy.
I mean, there are snowboarders in America.
They just had to put him somewhere where it was more common for it to be snowboarding.
That could have been America. I think he's Canadian because of Avril.
Anyways, he meets Reki, a redheaded kid who loves to skateboard. And then he teaches about a skateboard. And then he's like, wow, I am actually very good at this because of my snowboarding background. Anyways, they go to the crazy underground skateboarding, what would you call it? Club? Like a fight club thing, but skateboarding?
Yeah, skateboarding fight club,
I guess. Skateboarding fight club called S. And then they battle it out. And there's a bad guy named Adam who is really just a sad child who needs to be loved. And he also commits assault several times in this show.
Yeah, he's basically evil gay masked singer.
Yes, with a lot of hair.
And Dio. He's Dio.
He's Dio. Yeah, straight up. But that's it. That's Skate. Reki and Langa's friendship is beautiful, and also they're in love, and I will not hear otherwise.
Yeah, and I guess most of the discussion is going to be spoiler-filled since we already did a preview episode. But before we jump on a skateboard into the spoiler zone, I guess we should discuss like our general impressions and whether we would still recommend people to go check out the series.
Yes, I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I bought a skateboard. It's on its way.
Okay, so you're in the middle. It hasn't arrived yet.
No.
It was stuck on the Suez Canal.
Yes, it was stuck in the Suez Canal. That really dates this episode because that crisis has already averted as of us recording this. But it was so fun. Like I think I said the first time when Lily was here, we both loved it so much. And I think they just do a very good job with all the characters. And then the emotions are very real with Reki. Langa, a little bit. He was a little more reserved.
He's a little bit like magical foreign boy who comes in and is amazing at everything.
Yes. Well, hey, he had to work really hard at it in the beginning.
Yeah.
That was nice. And that was pretty realistic. He just like fell all the time. But I think you really, for like half of the season, I guess we're not spoiling anything yet, but like for half of the season, it's like emotional turmoil. And it was like pretty relatable if you ever like have a friend who's instantly better than you at something.
What was that noise just now?
Sorry, it's a car passing by. Let me.
It sounded like a skateboard. I was like, is Adam sneaking up on you for a love hug?
No, I hate that. But like when your friend is instantly better than you at something you've been doing for a while, it is soul crushing, I think, immediately. Yeah. So like watching Reki kind of like work through that was very good.
Yeah, I think like my main impression of the show is just that it was so, so well written and so, but not in a like, well written in a strange way that's hard to articulate. It's not like it was like, oh, I mean, because it did have good character turmoil. I did relate with the characters really well. But it was more like everything was really hype. Everything was exciting. Everything was not surprising, but like kept me on my feet. I think in the course of this episode, I'm going to hate on two things that you love a lot.
Oh my God.
So I apologize in advance. You are a Showa Genrak. What's it? Showa Genroku.
Genroku.
Rakugo.
Rakugo Shinju.
Rakugo Shinju, yeah. You're a stan of that series, aren't you?
It's my favorite anime of all time, yes.
Because one thing I really hated about that show was everything felt inevitable or obvious what was going to happen for some reason.
Wow.
And like maybe I was in a weird headspace at the time, but I felt like every interaction and everything the characters would say, I was like, oh, I know they're going to say that. Like, and I wasn't like,
okay, smarty pants.
But I don't think that's because I was like predicting or being really smart. I just felt like it was like, I don't know. It's a weird feeling that I...
And you didn't think that the power of friendship would prevail in Skate? Listen here, buddy.
But like, that's the thing. It's like, it was... So many things were obvious, but it still like was exciting. And it was still like, you know, like in the court, like, okay, I know it's in a lot of the matchups, you know, it's going to happen at the finish line, but like the things along the way before the finish line were exciting and fun.
And also physically impossible.
Yes, in so many ways. Like even just the concept of like, I mean, I don't know much about skating. Right, but like,
well, you know, you can't do some of that shit.
But also, skaters don't do this. Skaters don't race, right? Like, that's not a thing skaters do.
Sometimes they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Like this? I mean, not like this.
Not like this. No.
But like, skating is not like a speed race, like where you just like they do all these crazy tricks, but then the ultimate goal is just to get to a finish line first. It doesn't make that much sense, but the show sells it so well.
Yeah, like, it does a really good job of making it feel exciting, even though they're just like going on the same, they're going on the same exact track for each each time.
Right, like this, if this were real life and you're watching it, it'd be so boring. Like they'd just be going down a hill for a while and one of them would be in the lead for a while and then they would probably win and there might be one upset or one change over the course of the race. But
no, but people are flying, people are bouncing off the literal walls, they're using AI skateboards. Like
AI skateboard is my favorite, I think.
I love them. It's just insane, and it's dumb in the best ways.
Yeah,
without undermining the fact that the story at its core is good.
Yeah, and like you were saying about like that Reki, like I did not expect there to be so much focus on this story about like what it's like to not be exceptional. exceptional in a world where everyone's exceptional.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting exploration that, like, I don't think I've seen too much in anime.
Broke my heart. Oh, wait, are we spoiling things now?
Well, I think in conclusion, before we get to the spoiler zone, it exceeded my expectation in a lot of ways. And in other ways, like, it was exactly what I expected going into it after three episodes. Like, fun, crazy, like, I think I even thought early on, this is the dumbest show. This is so dumb. Oh, wait, no, I think I remember the moment where I said that. It was when I don't even know who or what race it was in, but, like, there's a dramatic upset because they, like, fling a, like, oh my God, what's it called? Like, the big iron bar back.
Oh, yeah.
And then they, like, ride it forward as it comes back for an extra boost. And it's like, this does not make any sense. But, like, oh, man, the shonen drama in the middle of it. Like, it was so exciting. Like,
it was very cool. It was nonsense. It was just they threw darts at a wall for ideas. But it sure was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's just an excellent package. Because, like, that I like the ideas on paper probably aren't that exciting. But, like, the animation was great. The, like, music sold it. Like, it was just, like, a really fun experience.
Yes. It felt very, like, the message was skating is fun. And that was, like, it felt very Haikyuu for me for a moment. Because, like, Hinata had to, like, overcome his shortcomings to be good. And then he's also just, like, hey, at the essence, like, volleyball is fun. Like, that's why I'm playing. Not for any, like, award or anything. And I was like, my favorite two sports animes.
Yeah, I think I have more comments about that, like, final mess of the show, but I think I should leave it for the spoiler zone. So, yeah, if you haven't watched the show yet, please go watch it. It's amazing. It's definitely anime of the season.
For sure.
Like, I still haven't gotten around to finishing Wonder Egg Priority, which also did not finish. Like, apparently the final episode is airing months from now. And
what? Why?
Apparently it seems like they've been, staff has been very overworked. And I guess they just couldn't finish last episode. But I think even, like, Bloodbuck K Battlefront for the first season did that. The final episode aired months later. So maybe that was intended all along. But yeah, Wonder Egg Priority, like, to me was like, oh, this is the, like, deep philosophical show of the season. But, like, Skate is the, like, fun, energetic, kind of for everyone. Like, also, yeah. It's super gay. We haven't even talked about how gay it is. I guess we have a little bit.
I feel like, yeah. We also, the fan art for this has been very fun and gorgeous. And I think it's the thing I've seen the most fan art for this season. Maybe I'm just following the right people, but.
Yeah, I think I'm following the wrong people because I haven't seen tons of fan art. I have seen a lot of fan art that maybe you would disagree with.
Oh, no.
Because some of these characters are not 18. But anyway, let's get into the spoiler zone.
Spoiler zone. Okay, Adam, when are we going to talk about that? Adam beat a child and committed aggravated assault twice. And nobody's going to help either of them. What is going on?
Yeah, I forgot that he was a child in the course of the episode. Just like when we watched Jujutsu Kaisen and I was, like, confused how Megumi, like, had only been in middle school a year prior. I was like, wait, but he's an adult. Oh, wait, no, he's a high schooler. Like, right. So, yeah, that happened.
Like, what is this grown man's deal that he's going to relentlessly punch a child while you're skateboarding? Like, you are ill, sir.
Have you watched the show? Because they do get into that.
Yeah, he is ill. He had a rough childhood. It's not an excuse to beat children with a skateboard.
Yeah, so, okay. Okay. I want to loop into, like, what I think about Adam's backstory and why he is, like, that trauma that we saw of him. But before that, I wanted to finish what I was saying before about, like, the message of the show. And I think that's, like you were alluding to before, like, oh, did you not expect, like, the friendship to win in the end? Like, I do think this show excels above that generic shonen bland, like, friendship always wins kind of message. Cause it was like, it was about seeking your passion and also not getting lost. Like, that having Adam as the villain was about, like, not getting lost in, like, there are lots of things to unpack about Adam's philosophy, but, like, I think the thing they hammered on in the final episode was that he, like, was using skateboarding as an escape from his life and what he wanted to get away from and not as a thing to, like, be excited about in and of itself. And the thing that, like, set Reki and Langa apart was just how excited they were by the fun of skateboarding. And that's something that's a message that, like, is very applicable to people if they aren't interested in sports or skateboarding. It's about finding things you're passionate about and not being caught up in. And I guess the like Adam's like climb to the top is maybe not so applicable a metaphor to normal real life things, but I don't know. It felt like a very heartwarming, inspiring message.
Yeah, it was strangely uplifting. I did not expect to cry or be touched by the skating anime.
Like which point was it that made you cry?
Well, I like teared up a little when like Reki and Longo weren't talking, and like Reki like ran away in the rain, and I was like, no, go hug him. He doesn't deserve this. Or when they hugged the end and they had their Yuri on Ice moment. Yeah. I cried there and I was just like, ugh, friendship. But it really was like him going through the motions of, well, not through the motions, but like learning that it's okay to not be the best. It's okay to just have fun. And yeah, my friend's better than me, but isn't that cool? And I'm like, ugh, wow, needed to hear that.
This isn't a moment that made me cry, but I think a moment that like really hit me hard in terms of like, wow, the show is like so powerful and competent in executing really basic ideas in a really like impactful way was when Reki sees Longa do that thing that like he sees him just casually, like it's like this underpass that they're like going to on the way to school or something. And he like Longa does his like elaborate move where he like skates up the side of it and then touches a star that's been like graffitied on the wall. Yeah. And then Reki tries to do it. And he's like so far away from that star. And just that like physical indication of this gap separating them now. And then him just like getting fixated on that and trying to do it over and over and never being able to reach that star. Like such a good, easy to understand physical manifestation of the gap between them. Oh, so good.
Yeah, it was pretty gorgeous in a way that like didn't put them directly up against each other in like a race or something.
Which is weird because like the show also
yeah
is all about racing and does that really well too.
I thought they were going to have Longo like beat him really badly, but they didn't, and I am grateful for that.
Well, I think what surprised me is like watching Longo do that move, I was like, oh, that seems so effortless and easy. And then watching Reki do it, and it's like, oh, this looks so hard. And it's like, they just, I don't know, they sold the emotion of how easy or hard it is for these characters in the animation. Yeah. Anime is good.
This restored my faith. And like, they're in love.
Another thing that restored my faith. Oh my God. When in the final episode, okay, I don't like how they call it beef, but in the final beef, when Adam's skateboard is shaped like a coffin.
What an idiot. I hate Adam.
And he slams it down and it turns into a cross. So stupid. I love it.
I hate this man. I hate him more than anything. He's so annoying.
I was like, I did not love how he was called Adam. And then once, like initially in the first couple episodes, and then once it became clear that everything about him was going to be an Adam and Eve metaphor, I was like, I love him. I love it.
No. What are you like? He's like, I'm looking for my Eve. Yeah. I screamed. He's and then, so like, stupid.
Finding his Eve became about like them descending to hell together because they're falling from Eden. Like, oh my God, I love it. I love it.
I was sick of this man and his weird dancing.
Wait, no, I loved how when the when his assistant guy registered as Snake, I was like, oh my yeah. God.
He's like, are you trying to make me eat the apple? I hate him, but I hope he and his assistant guy are happy together for the rest of their lives. He mentioned at the end of the episode, he's like, yeah, you're gonna be my dog for the rest of my life. And then he like blushed and I was like, what the hell kind of relationship do you two have?
I mean, he's opting into it. I mean, it's consensual, I think.
He said he was a servant's son, so I don't know what's going on there. But
some people like being dogs. I mean,
I hope they're happy together. He did continue to fly the helicopter so Adam can drop dramatically out of it. He's a good friend. I hope Adam finds peace.
Yeah, I mean, okay, one thing I really loved about the framing of the like end of the show and the second, like the penultimate episode, the semifinals of the tournament, was that like, I feel like in most shonen tournament arcs, if there's a semifinal battle, you kind of know what's going to happen. Like if you've been setting up the story well, then like it's obvious who the primary, like what the primary conflict is going to be, like between which two characters. So like it seems like it would have to be pretty vague and confusing if you don't know what the final conflict is going to be. But honestly, I was not sure if Reki was going to completely defeat Adam in the second to last episode, and then the final episode was going to be just like Reki and Longa, you know, like the two of them, because I feel like both Reki versus Longa or Longa versus Adam were the show was leading up to both of those moments. So I was actually on my feet in that second to last episode and thought there was a chance that Reki did actually defeat Adam, but I'm glad he didn't because he got even more extra.
Oh, I hated his outfit. He's weird showing up to the tailor in the middle of the night, dripping wet, covered in mud. Like, I need a new suit. Make it a funeral suit. With a bone mask. Can you just be normal, like Shadow, and paint a fucking clown face on? Like, I just, ugh.
One thing that came up in our preview episode that I think in the end the show disappointed me more than I even expected is the female representation.
We got a cop. We got one cop.
We got a cop and basically a couple other women who were... The through line between the cop and the other women is that they're all obstacles for Adam to... You know, that either like we're abusing Adam or like we're trying to get him arrested.
Or there's the flower shop lady.
Oh, yeah.
This show... very good, but also very bad.
Yeah, so I think that is unfortunately one area where the show really
flopped.
Yeah.
Give me a single woman. For a dollar, name a woman.
So that's unfortunate, but also, like, I enjoy the fun of them focusing so much on so many guys and the queerly gay relationships between them.
Yes, I cried. Okay, that was another moment that I adored. Was when Cherry got hit and he was like lying on the ground and Joe runs up to him calling out his real name. That's one of my favorite tropes, is like calls him by nickname and then like when they're hurt calls him by their real name. I couldn't breathe. I was crying.
Oh, I miss that. That's a really good detail.
I was like, Joe, you call out to him. You call out to him.
So emotional. I'm still trying to think through my thoughts on this. Because another of your favorite shows I'm going to hate on right now, but I keep trying to get to the bottom of why I find the extremely obvious gay subtext in this show so much more compelling than the like awkwardly textual but not quite textual gay romance in Yuri on Ice.
Okay, they were clearly dating.
They were clearly dating. That's why I'm saying it. Well, like here it's subtext. There it was text, but it was also text that they like couldn't literally confirm. They had to dance around it for whatever reasons.
They got engaged. They were wearing matching couple rings.
But also, I think the general like coach versus the dynamic of that relationship always was, I never liked the idea of, I don't think a coach should be dating their, what's the student?
Player? I guess student.
Athlete?
Athlete, probably.
Subject?
Okay, also the plot twist in Yuri on Ice was like...
Oh, yeah. I don't think we should spoil it, but that plot twist, I do really love that plot twist.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
But I think the main difference, because I love both, clearly, and I love Yuri on Ice with my whole heart, but I think the difference is with this one, it feels more like the beginning of a relationship, clearly, mm-hmm. and like them like, oh, like... We like each other and like we're really important to each other, but we're not like going to do anything kind of thing. And it's like fun. It's like fresh. And it's like, I don't know. It's like the joys of youth for this one. With Yuri on Ice, it was just like they're dating and there's a lot of sexual innuendos happening and they're adults and like adult relationships are nice, but it's not as like exciting sometimes when they're already dating instead of like in the beginning. I feel like that's my, because like maybe Yuri didn't know it all the way that he was dating.
Great. That's a great power dynamic. You don't actually know that you're dating your coach.
Okay, well, it's not a power dynamic. It was his fault. He's the one who started it anyways.
I mean, I guess he has a power bottom, so.
We don't know.
I'm sure there's lots of fanfic that has, there must be a consensus out there.
Yeah, I read a lot of fanfics. I should remember what it was, but I can't. Oh, no. There were some pretty good ones out there back in the height of, what was it, 2016?
Oh, God, that was a while ago, huh?
Yeah, we'll never get season two, ever.
There's the movie. I can feel it.
Yeah, but when's that coming out? They said that like 2 years ago, too.
Not sure.
They keep pushing it.
I think it's the difference between like in Yuri on Ice, it's like... I think it's a matter of expectation that like in Yuri on Ice, it's like, this is actually what's happening, but we can't actually say it. But here it's like, I don't think Reki and Langa are actually dating. Like that's not pivotal to my experience, whether they're actually dating, whether they're actually gay. It's just like, wow, this is really fun. And also like, wow, there's lots of gay subtext here. It's dripping in gay subtext. And I feel like that's really fun to have something that has so much mainstream appeal, just like have so much obvious gay subtext dripping in it. And I don't know, to me, that feels at this moment more fun than like something that is like obviously a gay couple, but we can't actually say they're dating. Like that, well, to me feels like very conservative, whereas this feels progressive, but they're both conservative in ways where they can't actually be explicit about gay relationships. But, you know. Yeah.
Well, there's also the other thing that I think some people commented on is like the stereotype with ice skating is to assume that like the athletes are gay. It's like it's not like always true, but it's like the thing that people would make fun of ice skaters for, especially the guys.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But in like skating, like that's not the... They're like skateboarding. That's not the stereotype at all. So they're just like, hey, here's this very hetero sport that we're going to make extremely homosexual. But they also like when Langa's mom was like, hey, like you had a falling out with someone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And then she's like, someone you like. And he's like, yeah, I do like this person. And she's like, well, I think she'll come around. And he's like, she, her, what? Oh, it was very good.
Yeah, and I feel like this is like a perfect, like it almost in some respects feels a bit like, you know, like focus group engineered, that it's like, it's very Fujoshi bait in terms of just there being lots of gay romantic energy everywhere, but also still being extremely shonen high energy. Like, so I feel like it is cross demographic in those ways. But I don't know, as a bisexual man, I love every aspect of it. So
it's beautiful.
It's almost as beautiful as Joe.
Almost as beautiful as Joe. Did you or did you not love the beach or like island scene or like episode?
I thought there was too much of it spent on the like skate, like the running
weird the mud whole, monsters.
Like, yeah, the monster thing.
Yes, that was weird. But
also, I do kind of have a I kind of missed some nuance of that episode probably because that was the one that I tried to watch while on my exercise bike.
Wow.
So I was a little distracted.
It was so cute because they're like trying to mess with Joe. And I was like, wow, the family vibes here are incredible. They're trying to like ruin him picking up women. And like Reki was trying to like demonstrate how like Shadow trying to ruin it would actually help him by like jumping into Langa's arms. And then Langa's like holding on to him. And then I was like, whoa, what's happening here? But then it was great because Mia went over to Joe and called him dad and then said, mom's going to get mad at you and pointed at Jerry.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
This show, I felt like that whole episode was like written just for people to ship couples. It was pretty good. I like how Shadow's just like their like uncle that they're mean to all the time.
Yeah. One complaint I have about the series, and it might tie into when we get to like talking about what we want from season two, but like is that I felt a little bit like the group formed really early and without much effort or fanfare. Like, I don't remember what episode it was, but they basically like one of them was a Reki or Langa going up against Adam early on. They kind of like formed a brain trust. And then they kind of, from that point on, like were so buddy buddy. They just go to an island together. And I was like, oh, how do you guys just
met? That was an accident.
What was that?
They went to the island together as an accident.
Oh, it was an accident.
Right. So Langa, Reki, and Mia wanted to go together and they needed someone to drive to like the ferry or something. So they bullied Shadow into it by threatening to tell the flower lady. And then Cherry and Joe just also happened to be going to the island.
Not together, right? They were just going.
Not together, just separate. And then Cherry was really mad seeing everyone there. And then Joe made them all go to Cherry's room and eat his dinner. Wow, I love their vibes. Absolutely incredible.
I loved the moment when Cherry does giant AI-assisted calligraphy. Like, what? Oh. Like, he wasn't just doing, he was doing, like, with a giant brush. And I don't know how AI was involved, but, like, it was fantastic.
What a beautiful show. Also, it was well animated, and that surprised me.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it, but maybe it's because it was only 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm. One moment that stood out to me was, I think it was one of the moments in the final match. I don't know. I guess it was just, like, something that Adam did that was a little bit surprising. I like literally sent chills down my spine. And I was like, wow, it's good.
Was it when he swung the skateboard at Cherry's face?
No, that surprised me. Especially because like Cherry was like, what can be, he has all this AI assisted technology. Like he's always going to lose because Adam's, you know, the main villain. This is early on in the show. Not early on, but it wasn't the final episode. I did not expect him to just get off the skateboard, just stand on the ground and hit him with the skateboard.
It was so dumb. What a beautiful show.
I forget if it came up in our 3-episode preview, because I think the love hug was, we had seen by that point, maybe. But like, I love the love hug concept. I thought it was so cool because it's like understandable how that would seem like it's magic or like it's extremely intimidating, but like it's just a very explainable. I mean, I don't know if the physics actually line up, if you can actually do that technique where you give yourself extra boost to like go up the hill a little bit. But like, it was cool that like it was very explainable in the end and they figured it out. combated it.
I'm not too sure about how any of these things work in real life. Like Joe's power boost or something, where he jumps on a wall and then just like pushes the pressure so he gets launched forward. I don't believe any of it, but I loved it.
I'm also confused about like, how are there no regulations for like, you can have an AI assisted skateboard that like changes shape. You can just change shape. That's allowed.
Yes. You can also hit children. So I feel like there's no rules.
Also, I forget when this is, because I just have this scattered note that I wrote down, but like when Adam's servant, his dog, like basically gets him to, I guess he like promises to renounce skating if he loses in one of the matches or whatever. And like, I wrote that down because I was like, this is the thing that Skate Leading Stars was trying to do. Like that was a moment that actually felt earned and felt like the kind of bet that like someone would actually make and both sides were invested in. It wasn't just a random Hail Mary, like when you have nothing else to bet, you just bet that you'll quit the sport. Like what?
Yeah, it was just better done here because there was like some build up to it at least.
Yeah.
And we got some flashbacks that were emotionally impactful. Also, his name is Tadashi. You don't have to keep calling him his dog.
Well, I don't remember them ever actually saying, we have the chart, the character names here, but like, I don't remember them ever actually saying that in the show.
He calls him Tadashi a couple times.
Well, I didn't catch
angrily. Wow. The love hotel was so funny.
Oh, I like how long I didn't know what that was. I was like, what happens there?
A pure baby.
I also love how, on the flip side of their ignorance, how Longa trying to explain to Reki the difference between fan and fun.
It was cute.
Because in Japanese, they are homophones. Like, you would pronounce them the same. So that was very cute. Oh, boy. I wrote down that my favorite interstitial was, I don't remember what episode this was in, but like Shadow begins to do a magical girl transformation sequence, but then he comes out with his underwear on and is embarrassed. It was great.
They really bullied Shadow. This whole show was just bullying him.
I appreciate.
He's the only straight person there. They just have to bully the hetero.
But he was still hot. He was still good to look at. So he's not in his clown makeup, I guess.
I mean, I would disagree. But...
okay. He's hot from the shoulder down.
Okay, thank you.
Because, yeah, actually, when he wasn't in the clown makeup, I don't think he was any better. But
he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Everyone was great except for Adam, who we hate. This is an Adam hate group.
I still don't love the idea of vilifying his gay coding, but since the show is dripping in so much other gay subtext, it doesn't bother me as much as it would in a normal show, I think.
Yeah, it was like, everyone's gay, so it's fine that one of them's bad.
Right, it's like the thing that, because everyone is so gay and there's so much gay subtext everywhere, it felt more like what was being vilified in Adam's personality was the predatory nature.
Yes.
The beating up teens.
Yes, please don't hurt children. Oh, what a wild show. I am blown away. I did not expect it to be my favorite show of the season when we were picking them.
Yeah. I mean, I really should have prioritized it more when we were drafting.
Did I win or did you win this season?
I mean, it depends what we vote on for Idol 7.
You already know what I'm going to vote for.
No. but also, do we count full reviews as, or do we just count
we just things count we nominated the previews. This season? So I win.
Okay. In that case, yeah. And Skating Phase is the only thing we loved.
God, I'm so good at anime.
I guess we should get to Twitter questions. First one from @CoronaBono. Worst non-AI character, i.e. neither Adam nor Carla?
The guy who hit Shadow on the head with the bat.
I appreciated this joke of... Because I read that this comment came in before I finished watching, and I was like, is there going to be some plot twist at the end that Adam is actually an AI? Like, what? What is this crazy plot twist? But I think he's just referring to the fact that he... the show is not subtle with its naming, and Adam's real name is Inosuke, which is basically just like love guy. The I is love, and Nosuke is just a generic boy name suffix. So I think it is written with a different kanji character, so it's a little subtle. There's a little bit of subtext, but yeah.
It's just text at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an inch below the text. But yeah, Shadow is not... my favorite.
I didn't say Shadow. I said the guy who hit Shadow with a bat.
Oh, wait. The guy who hit Shadow. Oh.
Remember?
Were they just like a fan?
He was a guy who Shadow beat. And then I guess his girlfriend dumped him. And so he hit Shadow with a bat. Least favorite character besides Adam.
I guess so. I don't know if that counts as a character.
He was there.
What if you had to offer up one of these precious boys on the altar as your least favorite character?
Shadow.
I might give it to Mia because he was... untapped potential.
But he's
I think
a
that's,
child.
I think that's true of all a lot of the cast that, like, I wish we had gotten more Cherry Blossom. I wish we had gotten more Joe.
Yes, me too.
I don't wish we got more Shadow, but...
More Cherry Blossom, please.
Oh, yeah. And more Joe.
More of them together. Then when they were in, like, high school, Cherry had, like, piercings, and I was like, oh, okay. All right, I see.
We got so there's more questions from Chrono Bono. Best character ignoring hair color.
Oh.
You can't just ignore the hair color.
Ooh. I think still Cherry. Cherry for me. He's so angry.
For the only character whose hair color affects my appreciation is Reki. So, like, my love of Cherry and Joe is unaffected by hair color. Like, the appeal of Joe is not the hair. I'm sorry, but it's the stuff below the hair.
Oh my god. Their ship name is Matcha Blossom. Isn't that cute?
Wait, why is it matcha?
Because he's got green hair.
Oh, I was like, is this racist in some way? Because
hair is green. And his hair is green? Yes.
I thought it was brown. No.
All right, so this is a bad question for Jeff because he's colorblind. Because
I already ignore the hair, apparently.
He ignores the hair because he doesn't know. Did you even know Shadow's hair was orange?
Oh, I mean, I guess I could have guessed because it's like a clown hair. Like, mm-hmm. Like, I like orangish hair, but not when it's a clown outfit. So not very appealing. Also, speaking of you being colorblind, I'll read the next question and say how it ties in. Chrono Bono's final question. Most Italian recipe besides pizza and pasta that comes to mind? And the reason I thought this is because earlier today, Eric, I went to put something in the trash can and I saw there was like something in the trash that looked like cat vomit. And I went to Eric and I was like,
ew.
Did Pixel throw up? And he was like, no, what are you talking about? And it was pasta sauce. And I...
Oh my God.
I think I can normally see the difference between bright red pasta sauce and like vomit, but when it was in the trash can, it was dark. I couldn't see the difference.
Wow, this is tragic.
But yeah, sorry to distract you from the actual question. Most Italian recipe besides pizza and pasta that comes to mind?
Garlic bread.
Oh.
Easy. I think that's Italian.
I don't know if
you
it
associate
is,
it with Italian, right?
I really can't think of anything aside from pizza and pasta. What else is there?
What about like calzone? Like a chicken parm or like
I don't think
egg,
you can get around that by just folding parm. The pizza in half. Like,
okay, well, I said two other things.
Okay, chicken parm.
Eggplant parm. Garlic bread. Salad. I don't know. Garlic bread's good. It's easy. You just take your bread. You put on some butter, some garlic, some other fresh herbs. Throw that shit in the oven. Done.
I made the Chrissy Teigen garlic bread a year ago and I haven't been able to make like that. That's like a decade's worth of garlic bread for me. So
God.
It was very decadent.
But, so is that your recipe? Is that the recipe that you bring to mind?
I guess. I wouldn't call it Italian because it's more just like shove in so much cheese and so much. I had to buy like several bags of cheese.
Oh, God.
But it was good. Oh, but it was spicy. That was the problem. It was too spicy.
Was it spicy or are you just intolerant to spice?
I imagine you doing the Oprah hand gestures when you said that.
Absolutely, yes.
It's probably the latter, but honestly, it was good because it throttled how much I could eat at any one moment. Like I couldn't binge it. So
now I want bread.
Yeah. I guess there was actually one more question for Chrono Bono. Season 2 when?
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of show that could...
It could just be done.
Well, it could just be done. I was thinking also I could go, like, be off for a while and come back a couple years from now.
Yeah, it's not like riding the hype of, like, a manga or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we can wait. Hopefully it's not Yuri on Ice long, but...
What would you want from a season 2?
I would want them to be, like, off in college or something, and they find, like, new people to skate with, and they're away from S. Maybe they are studying abroad or something.
They go visit Canada together.
Wow, that'd be fun. Let's go to Canada. Or they like both move to Tokyo or something, because that's where that police lady went.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you're like, oh, we all go to Tokyo.
I thought Okinawa was a pretty cool setting for the show. I don't know if there's actual skater culture in Okinawa, but it was an interesting setting for like, because Okinawa has a lot of American influence because of the American military base there. And so it already is kind of a...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not up to me.
You would get rid of it if it was up to you?
I would.
Yeah, that's a big can of worms, but it feels like an interesting crossroads of cultures there more so. Like there was one moment where they were just like at like a very Americana gas station, like I think in the flashback with Adam and Cherry and Joe when they were younger. And I was like, Okinawa is a very interesting place because there is just like random Americana in the middle of Japan. Well, not the middle, you know,
yeah,
way off to the side. But anyway. I would want, yeah, I guess like a time skip, seeing them older, moving through the life will be interesting. But it can't be too much of a time skip because I don't want Cherry and Joe to actually be old.
They'll look good forever.
That's true.
They will never look bad.
But I think the main thing I want is new characters that actually feel a bit more like earned to join the group, if that makes sense. And also lesbians.
New
lesbians.
Yes, let's get some lesbian skaters up in here.
Yeah. So much potential there. Also got a question from at Wander and Dreamer. If you were a skateboarder in this show, what would your gimmick be?
Ooh.
So I think I would have a cool skateboard that kind of like Cherry had like AI, but instead it would have like a smart, like several smartphones embedded in it. I'd be playing different gacha games while I'm skating, and maybe I get special luck in gacha rolls, like mid race. And it's like, you know, I pull some dramatic move while also pulling a 5-star SSR unit in the middle of the race.
This is dumb and I hate you. What would my gimmick be? I'm a cheater, so I would just be throwing shit at other people.
Isn't that what Shadow does?
Oh, shit. He throws some stuff. Fine. I'm a cheater, and I will call in a drone to pick me up and carry me to the finish line. I'm not good at skating. I haven't even gotten my board yet.
Okay. There was a TikTok I saw the other day that actually, for the first time, made me be like, oh, skating does look like fun.
Yeah.
But it was just
skateboard TikTok.
Maybe it was one you've seen. It was just very simple. Like, they were just like in a cool looking skate park where they could just like, wasn't doing tricks. They were just like riding a bunch of, not waves, but like going a little bit sideways and up and down a little sideways. And
yeah, it looks fun. I got to get arm pads and knee pads and a helmet also because I'm old and fragile.
Just get like a bubble.
Yes. That would be my gimmick. I just have one of those big bubbles. Like, have you seen the movie Bubble Boy?
No, I haven't. I've seen the Seinfeld episode about it.
Okay, well, I'll be Bubble Boy about a skateboard. No one can touch me because I'm in a bubble.
I have a bit of an existential midlife crisis because people were talking about the layout of Seinfeld's apartment. How it doesn't make any sense because the hallway, like the exterior shot of the hallway doesn't match the interior space arrangement. Like, it would be jutting into the kitchen. And in the common thread on Twitter, people were posting the floor plan of Frasier's apartment. And oh my God, Frasier's apartment. Oh my God. I want a 3-bedroom, 3-bath, like penthouse loft with multiple patios in Seattle with a view of the Space Needle, please.
Jesus. Okay. Anyways, love the show. We're not talking about whatever Jeff's talking about.
We're not talking about Frasier anymore.
No, no more Frasier. This is a skate only. Wow, how gay also that he was like, you're my, or like, we're going to skate together for infinity.
Yeah, like, it was very, like, cool to tie back the title in once they're like, they put their circles together and make an infinity sign together. And that to me felt, maybe because I think of The Fault in Our Stars. But like talking about infinity with someone, like, come on, that's like very romantic. Like,
it's super romantic. I want to be with you forever and then some. Like, dang.
Oh, yeah. And then also tied into like Langa, you know, like thinking of, like, realizing that there's more fun. Or wait, no, because it was Reki. Or was it Langa? I don't know.
What?
At one point in the, like, pivotal moment, like, thinking about how there's so much more fun to see. Like, there's infinitely more fun things to explore and see in the world. And that's a message that I, like, literally take away from the show that, like, literally applies to my life, even without any of the skateboarding metaphors and stuff. Like, there's always more exciting thing, fun things out there that you don't know about at the moment. And, yeah.
Like skateboarding, which I'm going to learn.
Good luck. I'll follow along by getting a tech deck and just using my fingers.
I'm going to be the oldest person in the skate park. I guarantee it.
You look like a 10-year-old. Don't worry.
Okay, yes, but I'm going to fall. And like then all the bunch of 12-year-olds are going to laugh at me. And I'm not going to be able to emotionally handle that.
I like how like you're getting into skateboarding. I'm getting into crochet. Like,
what's
we're not
happening?
The same. But we are the same.
We're going to die soon, I think.
Well, you're regressing in age and I'm, I don't know, the opposite.
The pandemic does strange things to us all.
Yeah.
Anyways, loved it. Best show of the season. Maybe of the year. We don't know yet.
Maybe of the decade.
Maybe.
Maybe of the genre. Actually, okay, since we mentioned Uranice a lot, do you think that this, like, will have as much staying power in your heart as Uranice had 5 years ago?
I'm hoping so. It probably will, but Uranice at the time was so unprecedented, I think. Like, for everyone at the same time, I remember, like, every week everyone was talking about the new episode of Uranice, and they're just like, wow, this seems kind of gay. Like, have we gotten this, like, so explicitly before? Like, and it was, like, first time for me watching something week by week that was, like, so explicitly gay in, like, a sports setting. But so maybe it was a unique experience for me.
Yeah, I feel like it was like the buzz even as it came out. And this, and Skate's been more like everyone's been like evangelizing and being like, hey, if you haven't watched Skate, you should watch Skate. But not like, oh my God, everyone needs to watch Skate. Like, people are telling everyone to check it out, but it's not like the thing that has, it's the meme of Sasuke holding someone up by the neck. I feel like Yuri on Ice did that to the anime fandom for a season, and Skate has been great, but hasn't done that to the fandom.
Soon, hopefully. Yeah, well, it's over now, but we'll see.
Well, anyway, the show, if you have not already watched it for some reason, is available subbed and dubbed on Funimation. So go watch it again.
Go.
Annie, what do you want to recommend?
Oh, that's not anime? Good question. Oh, shit. I already recommended that.
I went too long. I went 2 weeks in a row recommending fluffy conceptual things. Now I have too many real things.
Oh my god. I don't consume things. That's not true. How about banana milk? Have you had banana milk? It's good. There you go.
Is it really sweet?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm drinking some right now, and that's what made me think of it. But I also have melon milk, and that's even sweeter. So I would recommend banana milk over that, unless you want a dessert.
Oh, I see. These are like Korean sweet thing. Are they from a Korean market? Of course.
Yeah, I got them from H Mart.
I see. The thing it reminds me of is like in Japan, the milk that I only see them have like at onsens that you're supposed to drink after you get out of the onsen.
Ooh.
But yeah, well, that sounds good, and I'm not jealous at all. But I'm going to recommend, I guess because there's a shot at this actually being relevant based on when the episode comes out, but Invincible, which is a new animated show on Amazon Prime, unfortunately. But if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. But if you don't, I understand. Boycott Amazon. But it is an animated cartoon based on a comic that I had heard pretty good buzz about for a while, but never got around to checking out. And apparently the initial appeal of the comic is more of like its standard superhero setting, but fun for once. And it seems like, but there is a big hook that kicks in later. And for the animated version, they basically, the big hook is in the first episode. But it's a world that is like very referential to, you know, your standard DC comics. Like there's literally an analog for Justice League where like every single character in the, I think they call it Guardians of the Globe, is like, okay, that's Batman, that's Superman, that's Wonder Woman, etc. But the hook in the end of the first episode is very good, very interesting. It's still fun, even with that hook that is very dramatic and shaking. And it has a lot of really well-known actors, like, what's his name? J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons?
Yeah, J.K. Simmons is the main character's dad. The main character is, Stephen... The guy from Walking Dead that was also Minari.
Stephen Yeun,
yeah. And his mom. So Stephen Yeun is the main character. His dad is J.K. Simmons, and his mom is Sandra Oh. So, and, like, the rest of the cast is also... you know, like A-list celebrities. So it's almost a little bit too, I've heard complaints that like there are too many well-known actors that kind of distracts from it a little bit. I get distracted hearing, what's his name? Jason Mantzoukas, because he's a very distinctive voice, but, but he also, the character he plays also kind of fits that personality. So yeah, it's a very good show, very interesting. And like, it comes out Friday, comes out like late Thursday night, I think each week. And I'm like, it's the only thing since WandaVision that I'm actually like excited to like stay up late to watch. Very good. Also, each episode is like 42 minutes long, which is weird for a like dramatic animated show. And it confuses me, but also like they get through a lot of good story in that time. So each episode feels very hefty and significant.
That's good. I've heard good things, but it's on Amazon, so I won't be watching it.
Oh, well.
Maybe someday when it gets put on something else, I can watch it.
When the heat death of the universe, when the universe collapses and suddenly Joe's, what did you call him? His big mommy milkers aren't attractive anymore.
Yes.
By then it won't be on Amazon anymore, so.
Damn.
Yeah, if you liked this episode or didn't, if you don't like Annie, send us feedback
at
loveitorweeb@gmail.com or at loveitorweebit on Twitter. Or leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you like banana milk.
Hey, banana milk's good.
Yeah.
Where my banana milk gang at? Anyways, you can follow me on Twitter at @AnnieOtherName.
And I'm Jeff Friendly Jeff. And what are we watching next week?
Next week is Idolish 7, huh?
Yeah. More like Idolish Heaven.
Can we skip that and just go into the next season's preview?
More like Idolish Heaven.
I can't believe he's doing this. Can someone tweet words of condolences at me?
More like Idolish Heaven.
Bye.
Bye. And as we always say, hunger is the best pickle. If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first three episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to love it or weep it. But one of these days, Annie's going to remember there's a script.
Okay, I'm starting. I was like, I said, oh shit, that's me, but my mic was off.
But Now I'm like biting my, I'm worried that I've hated on Yuri on Ice and Rakugo Shinju too much that you're going to.
No. I'll think of something else.
Cool. Good. Because I don't want to watch those bad shows.
Wow, they're good. Have you seen them?
Yeah. I didn't see the second season of Rakugo Shinju.
Oh, that was really good though. Little problematic, but.
Yeah, I heard all the problematic stuff. So I was like, hey, well, I didn't love the first season. So.
Okay. But like, I have my thoughts on that. Anyways, moving on.
And as we always say, hunger is the best.
No, we don't say this.
It's the best pickle.
No one says this.
We say it.
I hate you.
Okay, I should go because the food arrived like half an hour ago. And
okay, bye.
Bye.